Thank you.
I'm going to agree with Councilman Napper as far as the calculus not working, because the break-even point is 2.5 years. My calculus is 3 years, just to recoup the initial investment. That doesn't include the ongoing maintenance and operating costs, including the charging of electricity, storage, and things of that nature. So just to clear up for me, you're proposing 14 cars, right? And from the information I received, we can store 12 of them in the shed in the back. Do you know what the temperature is to maintain the battery life of these cars?
Exact temperatures? No, it varies. I spoke with a couple of the ice rinks in the Dakotas, North Dakota and South Dakota, which is extremely cold. I mean, they're on a good day, it's 10 degrees there. So with their batteries, they're getting at that temperature, they're getting about 3 hours on average per charge of the battery.
Yeah, that's the charge. So the temperature for storage is 50 degrees minimum based on the manufacturing specs. So where we're storing these, is there a heating component to store these to maintain the specs required by the manufacturer?
A heating? No.
No. Okay. So with that said, a battery life is estimated at 2 seasons, which are considered 4 months. If we run this 2 seasons, which are winter and summer, we're going to have to replace that battery approximately once per year. And the battery cost right now, you can get it for about $2,500 to $3,500 per times the 14. That is just the minimal cost. The average operating cost, including electricity, replacement cost, and maintenance, is about $4,000 per vehicle per year based on manufacturing. Are you prepared with your budgets to also include those in the revenue numbers?
So I'm not sure where you got the battery pricing from, but I received a list of pricing from the manufacturer.
That's who I got it from too. I got a manufacturer's list right here, and I have the range of the batteries and the other components. I asked for a list of critical components for replacement, including the pads and
I have a much different price for the batteries. They're quoting $225 per battery.
For a battery.
Yes.
Love to see that. That's not what they quoted me.
Okay.
The other part is the difference in liability. We are on ice with the ice bumper cars. I'll be honest with you. If it goes through, I may be the first one in line to do it because it sounds cool. But I also need to look back at what are our priorities within the city. Sure. In the summer, the wheels that are or the disc that's on these machines is a high friction disc to work with the concrete. You familiar with that?
Yeah, they have a summer package. They have two different tires.
Yep. So the summer package for the torque on those discs is higher than the ice, which will put more wear and tear on the motor. It also increases the velocity when you hit another vehicle. Have we had an assessment by the trust for that difference between an ice version velocity and a dry area velocity?
Has the trust done that?
Yeah.
Not that I'm aware of, no.
I'm assuming they're the ones that are insuring us.
Yes.
Okay. And the insurance for these type of materials are considered amusement park rides. Am I correct?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? I'm sorry, repeat your question.
Yeah, the level of insurance is considered amusement park rides, higher risk.
I'm unaware. I don't have that information.
Okay. Well, it is based on state law. I can go on for a half hour. I can't right now support this. There's no urgency to us. I think a lot more energy and work needs to go into this so we are educated to a proper decision. So I'll hold the rest of my questions.
Sure, I'll defer to Councilman Ricks right now.
Thank you. Has there been any conversation with the vendor that's operating the ice skate rentals about using the ice bumper cars during the ice skate season?
Have I had a conversation with them? No.
Okay, because from my reading of the contract, it appears that, or at least my reading of the bid, it appears that the ice skate rental vendor was basically bidding on that with the understanding that they would be able to effectively rent out the ice skates on all days that the rink is in operation, aside from days that it's closed for weather within the season, and it states the days of operation. So do we know or have a rough idea of what the split of time would be if we moved forward with the ice bumper cars?
During the winter season, I would look to do 4 hours a day. So depending on the day, it could be half or it could be a little less than half.
Okay. So obviously, I'm not here to speak for that vendor. I have not spoken with that vendor at all, but this, I'm just imagining, it could be the sort of thing where they might not be happy because they may have employees, they may have had certain expectations when they went and bought these ice skates. So that could be a potential issue there too. But just looking at the ice bumpers, bumper cars in general, I would completely agree with my colleague, Councilman Muto, that, well, all of my colleagues, that yes, this is fun, it sounds great, but I particularly agree with Councilman Muto that when we really start to dig into the numbers and some of the potential liabilities here, I'm not sure if the business plan aspect of this is really adding up to ensure that this is, in fact, going to be a revenue generator or even come in revenue neutral for the city. I think that we may be underestimating some of the potential risks here, too. As Councilman Muto alluded to, this is considered a high-risk type of activity. And I'll go a step further. We can have all sorts of waiver of liability forms, all things of that nature, but that doesn't mean that people won't get hurt and won't go and sue the city. Doesn't mean that there won't necessarily be injuries, whether members of the public or city employees. Doesn't necessarily mean that we won't, as a city, wind up getting sued and have to pay out some sort of money, whether it's relatively nominal or, God forbid, something disastrous. I think that when we're adding up all of the potential expenses here, when it comes to the true costs of maintenance, repairs, everything that could happen if everything doesn't go perfectly according to our best expectations, and also looking realistically at the revenue, from what I'm understanding, it seems that the ice skate rental revenue is less than what may have been anticipated, and that's one of the reasons why we're looking into this as a different stream of revenue. Well, I don't know. I don't want to necessarily pin hopes on this being something where the revenues wind up equaling out or being greater than the expenses, the potential risks. I think that if we're going to be going somewhere along this route, we have to ask, why weren't we doing more with the old Rocky Point site? Perhaps there are some opportunities over there. But then again, I mean, Rocky Point went out of business for a reason, too. So,
Councilman, let's stick to
Bumper cars. I'll circling back to the item that's immediately in front of us. I just don't feel comfortable supporting something like this at this time before we really have a lot more answers to these different questions, and ideally data to back it up. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. So I have a lot of financial concerns with this. One of them, to start off with, is one of the questions I asked earlier was, what is this bid being paid out of, $44,799, or why is this? This was a newly created budget code, and it was created on 1/27/26. That means that number was not approved by the city council in the budget. My other concern is that, and again, Director, I'm not directing this to you, okay? This is in the global picture. That means that this monies, or some of these monies, the number actually is 61,000 change, I think the number is coming out of the capital budget. So whose wish list in the capital budget is being redacted? That means there's $61,000 out of the capital budget that was approved by the city council for specific items that may not or probably will not have the money to do so. The business plan for this ice rink, and I've been told before, we don't run government like a business. Well, that's why we get in so much trouble. Perhaps we should run it like a business, or at least somewhat mirror it, because in business, we don't have the luxury of dealing with the finances as if it's monopoly money. We're not talking monopoly money here. We're talking real money. And when I look at the ice rink and I say, okay, so what is the anticipated yearly revenue for this? And I'm not getting definitive answers. Well, it's hard to predict. It's this, it's that, the other. And what do we have for expenses? Like the electrical expense, as an example. We don't know, because these are things that we'll have to learn as we go along. The item, how much is an extended warranty, question I should say, and cost? It would be about $100 per car to extend the warranty on the pots for 1 year. What is the cost of on-site training and maintenance? On-site training will be, with the delivery of the fleet, is $350. However, we will not be doing this. Well, that definitely raises questions to me, because when I look at all the expenses that we have and I wrap my arms around some of them, a lot of them are related to not being properly maintained. My question is, who in the city has the experience and the knowledge and the training to make these repairs and to do these maintenance?
So it's a good question. So it's all done. There's no need for them to come out. It's a request if you like, but it's all done by Zoom. There's really three main parts to these cars. They're not very in depth at all. You have your joystick, you have your motor control wheel, and then you have your wheel. And that's really it. I mean, yeah, there are other components, the tube, the LED lights and things of that nature, but they're all plug and play, and that they can be done and trained through Zoom or FaceTime, however you want to word it. They can do all of that and even help diagnose over the phone, because it's going to be typically one of those three parts that are going to fail that will correct the issue. So these are not in very technically difficult pieces of equipment.
But there's a cost associated to that, sure. Right? So the staff that will be doing that, there's a cost associated to that. There's salaries, there's overhead, there's their benefits, et cetera. And this is the thing that troubles me often with items like this, is decisions are made that, you know what, let's do it, because We got the rate of return. We have this figured that we're going to have a payback in whatever amount of years. But I never hear what the real costs are. What are the total costs? All of the costs that the average person would not perhaps think about asking. One of the things that were mentioned is these tires. Now, the information that's been given to me may not be accurate, but I'm told that you're replacing these tires on a fairly often schedule because they pop, they wear out, they do all these kind of things. And as we see in this bid request, I think they're like around $500 and some per tire, right? My biggest problem is that this expense right now of $123,000, I'm using a round number, I'm not going to put at least my concept of a business plan and sign it on to $123,000 expenditure when I don't know about the beginning of this. Is this something that is sustainable? Is this going to work? Are we going to have a payback at $1 a skate and $5 a rental or whatever it is versus an $800,000 budget that we have for this year? Is that $800,000 budget for this year, is it light? I don't know. I think that this, particularly creating a new line item to take $61,000 out of a capital budget, that's wrong. In my opinion, that's just my opinion, because someone who is depending upon that capital budget wish list that may pass or may not pass now doesn't even have a shot because the money's coming out of something somewheres. It says that the storage space that is needed is for 12 vehicles of whatever it is, 6 feet, 8 feet wide by some 24 feet long. We're already having a vendor in that building that's costing taxpayer money to rent skates, and they're in there for free. There's real estate in that building that is being used for free. And now we're going to assign more real estate in that building to store cars for 6 months a year or whatever the time frame is that may not be used. I just find this entire plan for these cars premature. I'm not saying that it's a bad idea. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that, in my opinion, it's a bad idea to implement this today, given all of the financial exposure that we have, the financial liabilities we have. We talk about listening to our constituents. We just heard our constituents last week, and what they said was, stop the spending. So, yeah, I think we are listening to our constituents. I am not going to be able to support this, not because I think it's a bad idea. I think the timing is wrong. Come back in a year from now, and let's see how this rink performs. And by the way, I hope this is the one vote that I took. I hope I'm proven wrong. I hope people can come back and say, Ed, we told you so. I hope that happens. But to put another $123,000 out and on a gamble that this ice rink is going to work, I can't support that. I also would suggest that if we're talking about using tourism dollars, to put those tourism dollars into better use, such as something we're going to talk about later, is this pier, this Appanag Pier. That's a tourism item. Tourism people go on those piers. So for those reasons, I think the timing is wrong. I cannot support spending $123,000 now when we just heard loud and clear from the voters. And one can argue, well, it was just a small amount. Well, guess what?
You have 1 minute.
It was still what the consensus was. So come back in a year from now, show me the performance, the actual performance of this rink. Show me this rink can generate or at least be sustainable and justify spending 123 grand on bumper cars, and it would be more palatable for me. Thank you. Any other questions from members of the council?
If I may.
Sir.
So just to kind of go back to Councilman Riggs, going back to the ice skate rentals, that's just pure profit. The city, we're not out any money. We're not trying to compensate for any sort of loss or unexpected revenue from ice skate rentals. Again, this is offering another activity at the ice rink. If we limit to one thing to do at the ice rink, well, those are the only people we are going to attract, Councilman. So offering more for the rink, if we have more than just one activity, there's some people, you know, that these cars are ADA compliant. This offers up a lot more activities for other people to come to the rink to help it be successful. We're going to get out of this rink what we put into it. That's what's going to end up happening with the rink. If we can do multiple activities at that rink, that's going to attract more people. The more people that we attract, we've already had over 4,500 people at the rink, 17,000 views on our website in just 2 months. So I have full expectations that this is going to be successful. Dr. Councilman Foley, all the feedback that he's heard, I've heard the same thing at the rink for people that are there that love it. They think it's wonderful. They're not having to go to Providence or any other places to go ice skating. They have a beautiful place to do it here. If we give them more activities or offer more at the rink, that's going to attract more people, which in turn will increase our revenue. If we limit that, and I understand this is not a small amount of money. I completely understand that. And I'll admit, pretty ambitious with the number. I appreciate that feedback, and we'll certainly use that moving forward. But again, if we limit what we can do with that rink, that's going to limit the rink itself.
So, Director, again, in the big picture from a business plan, I understand what you're saying. But I also understand, when I asked the question, what has been the total revenue since the rink opened? And the answer is $36,536, not including what Director Prodger may have. And I look at that and I say, we have an $800,000 budget. We're getting a dollar a piece for skate rentals. And I doubt highly that 100% of the people that go skating there are renting skates. And we have, I think it's $5 or $10, whatever it is, to skate on the rink for an hour, whatever the case may be. You know what? You all do the math. Tell me how much money and how many people have got to use that ice rink to generate that. So that's where I am. Councilman Knapper.
Yeah. Just had something to clear up. I think Director Prodger may be able to offer some clarity as to where the monies were reallocated from, because I think the chairman had indicated that it was coming out of capital budget, and I think there was something I was not clear on as well. So if you could maybe just clear up any ambiguity as to where the money was coming from.
Hold up just 1 minute, Councilman Knapper, so I'll read it to you. It says, no contract period is needed. $61,795 will be expensed from 44-799. That's the newly created budget code. Yes, 44-799. Newly created budget code that was not approved by us in the budget. That's Appanag Rink capital assets. $61,795 will be expensed to $61,355 tourism. So
I did do a couple budget transfers to fund this project. Within the ordinances, I can move money within a department. So what I did was I noticed that the utilities, electric, gas, that kind of thing, they were all coming in very low. So I transferred some money from those accounts at the rink over to this code to fund the bumper cars. So there's that component. It was about $61,000 and change. So I did that. I allocated within the department. And I actually did the same thing over in tourism. They're actually understaffed at the moment. So I moved some of their salary funding to the tourism project line and funded it through that. It was all within a department, so other departments will not be hurt by this purchase.
Director, did I just hear you say that the electric expenses and the gas expenses are low?
Yeah.
Wow. I want to buy my gas and electric from you guys.
Yeah.
Because everything that I see in here, it's
I have a point of order. The time allotted has been exceeded.
Okay. Point of order noted. Councilman Napa.
Your time is.
Yes. Still have. So, Director, that you said you reallocated from lack of employees there. How much?
So tourism is tourism to tourism, and then the rink is it's rink to rink. It's within the departments.
Was that portion coming out of tourism all reallocated from the payroll line items?
Yeah.
Okay, so the other projects that tourism might have anticipated are still the, be able to
still
be
fully funded, still running. I just moved some money over from salaries.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Members of the public, any questions or comments from members of the public? Come to the mic, put the mic up close, and identify yourself for the record, please. And let's stay on point with this bid, which is for bumper cars.
Chris O'Connell, Ward 5, right?
Yeah. Chris, just hold it up to the, hold okay. The mic. There you go. Thank you.
First of all, Mr. Chairman, I think you're being far too nice. This is a horrific idea, and I'll tell you why. I know the entire Mickey Stevens complex like the back of my hand, and I think it's personally hilarious that we're doing everything we can to try and pay off the third ice rink when we're not, I haven't even focused on the other two. I don't want to hear about plans or this, this, and this. That whole complex is not what it should be right now, and we're focusing all on this. Not only that, time and money. So my real question is, and this is financial, I want to know, were there any resources taken away from the Warburton Arena for the chiller for this ice rink project?
No, this was through a federal grant. There was nothing, and all the construction for the rink behind us was through federal grants.
So no resources, nothing. Absolutely nothing. I'm not talking about grant money. I'm talking about city resources. Absolutely nothing was pulled from the Warburton Arena to do anything of the sort on this complex.
Nothing.
Okay. You might have to stop me on this. I want to know, were 11 jobs taken from the fire department to fund this?
No.
Okay. We'll have to, further on, I'll ask that later okay. During public comment.
Stick with okay. Cars. We got plenty to talk about on bumper cars.
Oh, yeah. It's a great idea. Who the heck cannot say that it's a great idea to do the bumper cars? I think it's a great idea. But you know what? We have Mickey Stevens. I've been on both ice rinks. I've swim competitively in that 50-meter pool, of which, you know how many places in New England have a 50-meter pool? Not to get off track. It's a great idea. I got a lot of great ideas. And if I had six figures to go do some of those ideas tomorrow, hey, that'd be great. So I'll leave you with this. Anybody who supports this at the time that the city's in right now, please don't be surprised when you might see some social media posts that say, this person supported spending over six figures on bumper cars at the time that the city is in right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record.
Rob Cody, Ward 7.
Break the mic.
So the fact that a municipality that's got $1 billion of debt is speaking about bumper cars increases my blood pressure to the likes that you can't even imagine, you know. And we keep talking about, oh, let's draw people. Why don't we throw in, you know, miniature golf? What about some go-karts, right? What about some batting cages? How about a whack-a-mole stand? We can put that out there, too. This is ludicrous, all right? And the problem I have is with the mathematics coming out of here. And I'm going to refer to the mathematics about operating that facility, where you guys said you're going to make $700 a day on ice skate rentals. We know that was a ridiculous assertion. It's not even close, $700 a day. And your bumper cars cost of 200, you're saying you're going to raise $225,000 on the bumper cars. That $225,000. What are the expenses for personnel right now? What are the expenses? What are the costs to operate that building with personnel? Monthly costs, what is it? And I'm talking personnel, their salaries, their benefits, the electricity, vehicles that go back and forth, city vehicles. What's the monthly cost to operate that facility?
Director?
I don't have that answer for you.
There's your problem. You don't know.
Well,
So how can you come up here in front of the tax base and say, this is going to generate X amount of dollars when you don't even know what your overhead is? This is business 101. This is why the city is in such a state of catastrophe financially. You throw out these numbers, we're going to make $225,000. You can invoice $1 million. But if your expenses to invoice the $1 million is $2 million, is it a good idea? I mean, this goes down with like the stupidest things that's ever come before the taxpayers in work. You know, this was like, remember the revenue we were going to raise when we were going to chase rogue shopping carts? Remember that one? We're going to chase the rogue shopping carts. Remember, if there's a rogue shopping cart from Stop and Shop, we're going to send the police.
Mr. Cody.
Come on, Ed, you know this is true, right?
We're not talking about shopping carts. We're talking about bumper cars. Stick to bumper cars, please.
We're talking about the mentality of how this city itemizes their revenue, right, and their profit margin, right? You know, this is like third grade math going really, really bad. I mean, I'm personally insulted after what happened last week that we're wasting time talking about freaking bumper cars. Like, is there anything, like, let me ask this question. On the priority list of Warwick with things that need to be accomplished, whether it's fixing the ice rink or potholes or wherever, where do bumper cars lie on the level of priority? Where is that? Is it like number one, number two? Where's the bumper cars? Seriously, this is a realistic question, right?
That's an appropriate question, and maybe the chief would want to answer that.
Senator Chief Staff, this is a very high priority for the mayor. He wants this rink to succeed. He wants the citizens of Warwick to enjoy the ice rink. Not everyone else can skate. This is, gives people an opportunity that can't skate, an opportunity to use the facility that zero city tax dollars went into, no matter what anyone says. This was 100% federally funded, this project back here. So this is a project that is very high on the mayor's list to provide the citizens of Warwick enjoyment year-round. It's a year-round event center. It's not just ice bumper cars. They're going to be used year-round. So it is a very high priority to the mayor.
But the fact of the matter, Mr. Facenti, is that there are other things that are a higher priority than bumper cars. We all want to go have fun, right? Let's, you know, I come here and the ridiculousness level that keeps increasing with what's coming before the taxpayers. In any event, this is going to cost the taxpayers money. You have people that are employed over there. You have city vehicles going back and forth, wear and tear, fuel usage, right? You're going to have maintenance on this ice rink. None of that is included in your projection. Oh, $225,000. Like, this is all free money, right? I mean, this is like, this is playground stuff, right? This city is going belly up, and the taxpayers are tired of it.
Bumper cars, please.
Bumper cars.
Bumper cars.
We're talking about bumper cars.
Okay.
Right?
Stay on bumper cars.
The municipality, that's a billion in debt. We're talking about bumper cars. Really? I don't know. Maybe it's me, but, you know, what we should do is build the whack-a-mole thing out there, right? And we'll put, you know, we can put pop-up heads of council members and administration people that make stupid decisions on spending the taxpayers' money and whack them.
Bumper cars. Thank you.
Bumper cars.
Oh, there you go. Robert Cushman. You know, since we're getting the theme of Rocky Point type antics at the council meeting, I have a suggestion. Maybe at the Sawtooth Building, we should put House of Howards when the taxpayers have to come in and pay their taxes in the next 3 to 4 years. Okay.
Please.
So I just want to congratulate the council of the finance committee for having some common sense and hopefully going to hold this thing. I'm a little bit disappointed in my councilman, Mr. Foley, who's, it seems like he's, you know,
stick to the bumper cars.
I am, but, you know, Mr. Foley, you brought up the thing that you look at social media platforms, you look at the will of the people. I have a social media platform you should join. It's called the Warwick Taxpayer Spin. 500 people joined last week. 24,000 people are looking at some of the posts I'm putting up. People are very upset in the city. They're upset about the spending. They're upset about the future tax increases that are coming in. They're looking for leadership in terms of cutting spending on the city side, on the school side. And, you know, join my page. If you really want to hear what people have to say, how scared the death senior citizens are, stuff like this, bumper cars do not have a priority. Mr. Napper, you know, maybe I could just ask you, because you seem like you have some facts and figures in front of you that you didn't disclose to us. Do you have any facts and figures on the revenue that was generated off of that ice rink in December or whatever? Because I know you talked about it, but you didn't give us the figures.
I don't think I talked about the revenue generated. Yeah, I could be wrong. I might have mentioned it. But I believe, I don't think I have specific month to month, but I believe it was, stand by 1 second.
As of today, it's 44.
44. All right. So the figures that we had were a little low. We had around 36, and it looks like about 44,000.
What was the anticipated revenue?
It's about 700 for the year.
700 what?
That's what I'm remembering off the top of my head.
I didn't hear that again. What?
I think it was about 700 for the year.
750,000 a year?
It could be. I'm remembering off the top.
So I don't know. Has anybody got a calculator? If you divide, is it more money in the winter months because you're skating? I mean, so what was the anticipated revenue in December? Does anybody know? It's not broken down by month?
No.
I mean, wouldn't you think there'd be more revenue for a skating rink in the wintertime than the summertime?
Well, as the chief of staff just said, it's not intended to be just a skating rink. It's an all-year rink, a space community engagement.
Yeah, but okay, so now you're telling us we got to buy bumper cars because we need to get more activity and more revenue in the summer. But when you first built the rink, bumper cars was nowhere in the thought process, right? There's nothing to do with bumper cars, right?
Not at the time.
So when you put the $750,000 revenue projection, it had nothing to do with bumper cars, right?
No, it did not.
So what's the revenue now when you get bumper cars in per year?
We're hoping we figured out 200 a year.
That's an unknown.
200 a year, yeah.
Yeah, you don't know.
No.
So, I mean, that's my whole point. Who could run a business that way?
Hold on. 1 minute. I'm going to interrupt you, Mr. Cushman. Director, I think the answer you just gave to Councilman Napper was that as of today, it's $44,000 income.
Yep. That's what we have right here.
When I asked this question, was the total revenue to the city since the rink opened, that was before the last meeting. So it's probably maybe 4 weeks ago when I asked that question. So in a period of 4 weeks, we've had an increase of about $8,000.
It's been brutally cold.
Oh, I understand. The weather's certainly been terrible. It has not been conducive to doing anything. But even if you triple that number, that's where I'm going. So anyways, go ahead. Bumper cars.
What is the amount of expenditures in December? Do you have that figure, somebody?
You know, I didn't bring it through December, but I do have it through February 3rd.
Okay.
It was $74,000.
$54,000?
$74,000.
$74,000. Okay. That's just, what does that cover?
That covers salaries, some overtime, maintenance materials, and building maintenance.
Does it cover the total health care, pensions? Any of those legacy costs?
No, actually, there's only one employee over here that would be eligible for any of that anyway.
Okay. So I just divided this out. So if you divide 750,000 in 12 months, it's 62,500. But I would think when they originally put the rink up, since you're building an ice skating rink, you would have, you know, maybe November, December, January, February, maybe 5 months. So most of the revenue would be coming in that 5 months time, right? So it just, the math doesn't work. It doesn't seem like, you know, they've done the right kind of projections. We can't afford to be dumping more money into a facility, not knowing whether it's going to make money, especially with these large tax increases coming. And once again, Councilman Foley, Warwick taxpayers spin, you'll be very enlightened on how the taxpayers feel in the city.
That is not a bumper car
issue. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, anyone else? Anyone else from members of the public have any questions or comments? Do any members of the public have any questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to put a PCR on that item. Madam Clerk? Thank you. I need a motion on PCR 15.
I move favorable action.
Second.
We have a motion. Do we have a second? We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
No?
No.
So we have a 2-2. To our city solicitor, council solicitor, that goes to the floor without a recommendation?
Yes, pursuant to the rules, that'll proceed to the floor with no recommendation.
Okay, so PCR 1526 goes to the floor. Thank you. Item number 4, found on page 30. What's that?
The president wants to hold, I think.
Oh, I didn't know. The council president, was it? He sent you a text, did he?
If possible, could we please pause so we can do our one appointment, convene the full council so we can get the public comment, and then we'll come back to committees after, please?
Sure. Okay, so at the request of the council president, it is now
6:45. Point of order.
Who said that?
That was me. I'd like to just suggest we do the appointment just from our seats over here, and you guys can leave all your stuff over there. I know you have lots of paper binders and stuff. So just leave your stuff there.
Okay.
We'll do the appointment. We'll just sit right here. And then you guys will be all set up to get back.
Okay. So is it okay if we hold, right now on the committee?
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. All right. So at the request of the council president, we're going to hold or put a pause on the finance committee, and we'll all sit right here and go ahead and do whatever else you want.
Vote, Ryan.
Mr. Solicitor, we don't need to take a vote on that, right?
You may if you wish, if the committee would like to be at ease until the recall by the chair, if there's no objection.
No objection. Okay. We are in recess.
All right.
And you can stay right here.
Okay, intergovernmental is going to come to order now. Yes, sir.
Okay, so I just want to clarify
with
the council president. Yeah, I heard you, councilman. Mr. President, so do I understand this correctly? The appointments committee is going to take place now, and then we'll convene the full council. Is that what you want to do?
The finance committee is at ease, subject to recall, so you can remove everybody from the well. You don't have to take materials if you don't want. And then the council president is asked briefly for one item, the appointment, to get a recommendation in place so that we can timely start the full council and get through Rule 41 carryover, as well as that appointment for the person who is here.
Okay, which honors and then we'll return Councilman Gebhardt's request. Committees. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Time is now 6:46. Appointments will come to order. For clarity, this is Councilman Napa, Councilman Muto, and Councilman DeLuise. First order of business is acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on January 5th. Do I have a motion?
Motion to move favorable action.
Okay, thank you. Motion and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. We are going to take up just one item on the docket for intergovernmental this evening. It's an appointment to the Historic District Commission. Mr. Mark Rabinowitz. I believe in all of your packets, you have the appropriate paperwork as well as the CV for Mr. Rabinowitz. Any members of the committee have any questions, comments? Councilman Lattice. No, you're not. Any members of the committee have any questions? Seeing none, members of the council.
Okay, thank you, Chairman. So, Mark, I've reviewed your rather extensive resume.
Sorry.
The length of things that you have been involved in is absolutely astounding. I've never met an individual that has been so involved in so many things. And my question is, how did you accomplish this at such a young age?
It was all just a prelude to joining you all and helping to maintain our beautiful city's future and past.
It's just incredible. And one of the things that stood out amongst many, many others in your extensive list of accomplishments is your work on the Iwo Jima statue at Paris Island. And I will personally thank you for that.
Thank you. It was a real honor.
It's just it's wonderful to see an individual with your enthusiasm and qualifications and experience volunteering to serve on this committee. And I thank you for that.
Councilman, thank you. Very, very kind.
Okay. Yes, thank you. Any other members of the council wished to add anything? No? Any members of the public? You're welcome to say a few words if you like.
I really have nothing to add. I would be honored to do what I can to help preserve our history. And I hope all that experience will be able to provide a little bit of something to do that game.
Thank you for that. Certainly, this is a very important, especially as you see all the economic development activity and development happening across the city. The chair of our land trust was here. So from a conservation perspective, but this commission, of course, plays a role in that as well. So we look forward to welcoming you to the district commission. Nothing from the public. Everyone's been heard. Do we have a motion?
I think with great appreciation, a motion to move favorable action.
Second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Aye. Four ayes. And the Intergovernmental Committee with that will recess.
All right, we're going to convene
welcome
the full
to the
council
district committee.
Thank you, councilors.
Thank you.
All right, so the council will convene at 6:51 p.m. Clerk will please call the roll.
Here.
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 Here. Councilman Gebhardt could please lead us in the salute to the flag.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we wore.
First up is general communications. Announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. Does anyone have anything for general communications? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. I am going to ask for a moment of silence for one of my friends, constituent and longtime resident of the city of Warwick, Mr. Bill Nixon. Mr. Nixon passed away recently, and he was truly a remarkable individual. He was actually a downhill skier racer at his upper 80s and perhaps even 90 years old. Truly, truly an amazing gentleman. For years and years and years, he would have the 4th of July parade and have hundreds of people over at his house for watermelon and lemonade, and just a remarkable individual. He also wrote at least two books about Warwick Neck and its history. And it's just very sad losing a friend and an individual like Mr. Nixon. And I remember, I think it may have been one of his last races when he won the race. I said, Bill, I said, that is amazing at your age winning a downhill ski race. He says, Ed, at my age, it's easy. You don't have many competitors. But truly, truly a great guy. So I would appreciate a moment of silence. Thank you.
We have a moment of silence for Mr. Nixon. Does anyone else have anything for general communications? All right, so the only other thing I have is I want to make sure credit is given where it's deserved. While the last council meeting was unpleasant for everyone, Councilman Lattiser took steps the very next day to find solutions to some of the issues previously described. He reached out, engaged in meaningful dialogues, and worked with the relevant parties. He could have dug his heels in, but he did the right thing, and that deserves acknowledgement and credit. So thank you, Councilman Lattiser. It is obviously appreciated. Is your light on? Because you have one? All right, Councilman Gebhardt.
Yeah, I just ask for a brief moment of silence for Fred Pierce. Fred Pierce is my next door neighbor, longtime Warwick resident, had some health issues and passed over the weekend. But not before over the summer being able to walk his daughter down the aisle, which his health issues preceded that, but that was his main goal, and he was successful there. So for his family and for him.
We have please have a moment of silence for Mr. Pierce. All right, does anyone have anything else for general communications? All right, seeing none, we move on to executive communications, for which there are none. Next is acceptance of minutes from the council meeting held on January 5th, 2026. Does anyone have any objection to accepting said minutes? Seeing none, so accept it. Next, we have rescheduled from the January 26, 2026 meeting public comment. Rule 41, after general communications and prior to the consent calendar at the last regularly scheduled meeting of the City Council each month, there shall be a period of time not to exceed 30 minutes during which citizens may comment about Warwick City government issues subject to the following stipulations. The total period of time for public comment shall not exceed 30 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. Each citizen signed up and present shall have not to exceed 5 minutes to speak, provided, however, that if more than 6 citizens are signed up and present, the 30 minutes will be split evenly among speakers. Time shall not be transferable among speakers. The topics for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. City Council members will not respond to questions during the public comment period, and the public comment session will terminate at the expiration of the earlier of all speakers concluding their allotted time or 30 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires a unanimous vote of the council. First up, we have Rob Cody.
Rob Cody, Ward 7. So I'm going to go back in time a little bit. We're going to start on October 20th when we had the audit report. I've been to the audit reports for the last 15 years. It's typically about an hour to an hour and a half, and the council gets to ask questions and the general public gets to ask questions, but not this time. Everybody wondered why. So after the fact, we find out that on page 99, we see that there's a demand for $75 million settlement for a lawsuit against the city of Warwick. maybe that might have been one of the reasons why we couldn't ask any questions. That would have opened up a can of worms. So that's very problematic. Another $75 million in liabilities, possibly. Then I want to move to November 18th and the fire contract, which I haven't been able to talk about. I sat with many of the council members ahead of time and explained through official city documents all the schemes that were going on between the 1,700 sick days, the 2,600 changes of shift, the fact that 68% of the department is not following the Boston schedule and it's costing us money. All facts with official documents. And no one asked a question. Nothing. I missed a muto. All the time we spent. You didn't ask a question. Remember the text messages that you would send me? F these guys, this is fraud, I'm not voting. You didn't ask one question. So I'm not sure if I'm more pissed off that you're wasting my time or you didn't have the guts to follow your own admissions, right? You didn't ask a question.
Please refrain from personal attacks. They're not permitted under our rules.
It's my First Amendment. Don't interrupt me. And then, Mr. Kirby, it's been 12 months, right? 22, 24 council meetings. You haven't uttered a two-syllable word. Nothing. You were elected to represent the people. That means understanding the issues of the city of Warwick, listening to your constituents, and make your voice heard. Not to sit there like Mr. McElroy did for 6 years and never said one word. That's a problem. I told you this last April. It's a problem, and it's going to be a problem in November. The seat that you're sitting in, it's not a lazy boy recliner. And I'm tired of it. You need to start opening your mouth because I'm having serious thoughts whether you're competent enough to hold that seat. You going to interrupt me again?
Please refrain from personal attacks.
It's not a personal attack. It's a fact. And right now, you're violating my First Amendment. Don't let me go down there. And you know, Mr. Snappy, let's get to you, all right? The last council meeting we had, you completely embarrassed the city of Warwick and this body by trying to grab power, and change the council rules so that you think that you can just jettison anybody from a position that you think is necessary. Right? You want to grab power, right? You have been here for 6 years, and all you've done is incrementally try to decrease the general public's ability to speak, right? And what do you want to do? Change the council rules so it benefits you, right? Just like you cheated on the bar exam, you want to change the council rules. You can bang that gavel all you want.
Please refrain from personal attacks.
It's not a personal attack. It's called the Freedom of Speech First Amendment. And you better watch out because I'll slap a lawsuit on you in a minute. It's fine for you to change the rules to benefit you. But when anyone else comes up here, you want to stop them from speaking. All you did was embarrass the city of Warwick and the council. And Mr. Gephardt, you could have been the hero at the last meeting and eliminated all this embarrassment. You know why? This man used you as a pawn, right? He used you as a pawn. And all you had to do was say, I don't want to be involved in this, and I'm not going to do it. I don't want to be the chair of the finance committee. You would have been a hero and would have eliminated all this embarrassment. But that never happened.
Mr. Cody, 1 minute.
And with Mr. Foley and Mr. Muto, I remember you said to me that Mr. Foley organized a meeting between you and the fire department prior to the ratification of the contract. And when you went there, they told you, they threatened you. They said, if you don't vote in favor of this, we're going to boycott your upcoming fundraiser. And you told me to my face, no way am I voting for it. And you went and you voted for it. I just don't understand what's going on with this council and the decisions that are being made. It's an embarrassment to the city of Warwick. And I think you need to comport yourselves in the best interest of the taxpayers, not in the best interest of your politics or your future politics.
Next up is Bob Cushman.